since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
But what happened with Pete? Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what happened to your screen. Give me 1 second.
Why? All this drama.
Hey, you're there now. Okay. I was like, oh, what the heck happened there? All right, everyone. Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 1192. Dizzy holds Danny Pena, and also joining me for this episode, the one that disappeared for a second. Now he's back. Peter. Pete, what's up, man?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
Everything is good, man. Good. It's just been, dude, the past couple of weeks has been insane for me, man. All these games coming out that we have to review. And actually, we're going to talk about in a few minutes. We're going to talk about one of those games that it just was embargoed today on a Sunday, which I technically thought was going to be tomorrow. So I'm like, damn, can we add this on the show? I don't know how we're going to do this. And yeah, it went live, all the reviews. So I'm like, all right, might as well just talk about it. So we're going to be talking about Sifu in a few minutes, Pete. That's going
to
be a lot of fun.
Looking forward to it. I've been having a lot of fun with it. I'm glad we could finally talk about it.
Yes.
It's a little bit different. And if you're frustrated, if you like frustration, yeah.
This is it. This is for you. You want a challenge?
It's one of those games that I didn't think was going to be this difficult.
Yeah.
But man, that first playthrough... That put me through some depression. I was like, I am not this bad at video games. Why am I this bad?
Yeah. Oh, honestly, I'm checking out. It says that we're still. Can you change the category, P? It says that we're. I'll edit this part. It says that we're at PUBG still. I forgot that you went live.
I mean, we could play PUBG.
We're not playing no PUBG. Hell no. Thanks, Mandy. Thank you, Mandy.
Thank you, Mandy. Thank you, Mandy. It should be fixed now. Just if it's not, refresh your browser.
Just refresh. It's good.
Or not. Just leave it. Let it say PUBG. It's good.
It's good. All right. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You also can find us on any podcast app. And make sure to continue to post a review every time you see us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere. Just hook it up. Help us out. It will help us climb the top of the charts because of your support. So. Thank you, everyone, for posting reviews. It's been very, very helpful, man. All right. If you also would like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, which we have questions, Pete, for this episode. That's going to be a lot of fun. Here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete, let's talk about right away Sifu. I think this is a great way for us to open up the show instead of having it like towards the end. The game comes out, actually just came out, right? It just came out recently. I think you could buy the early access version of the game. You can start playing it right away. So shout out to Devolver Digital, Slow Clap. I know they're the developers of the game. Very, very excited. Very excited to talk about this with you, Pete. Do you know what this game reminded me of, Pete? It reminded me of the old school... Kung Fu game that came out for the NES, like that type of game. Like there's a section right in the beginning of the game where your character is fighting through the hall and there's like a bunch of enemies coming. That part reminded me of that, man. The game is brutal. The difficulty is so high, so high. But at the same time, I had a great time playing with this, man. It wasn't something like, I'm like, all right, I'm done with this. I'm never going to play this again. I kept on going because this is a roguelike game. So if you are a fan of like games like Returnal, Hades, or even a game like Sekiro, which is not a roguelike game, but that game is very, very challenging too. I think people are going to people are going to love this game so much, man. You're on mute.
No, I'm not.
Now you're not. now you're not.
Shout out to Slow Clap again and PR, Devolver Digital, for giving us a chance to play this. I came into this having just barely seen the trailer for it. Obviously, I saw the timeline blow up. You know, everybody was starting to talk about it the week prior, kind of the lead up into the game launch. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, let's see what this is all about. I'm looking forward to it. I was glad I had a chance to play it. Like you said, the difficulty level is up there. Like like I said in the intro, there were times where I was questioning my skill set and ability to play video games. And I'm like, damn it, maybe it's just as I get to this advanced age or something, that this is where things start to break down. But man, it's difficult, but it's fun and it's challenging and it's frustrating and it forces you in a lot of ways, like you mentioned, like with Hades and every other, you know, game in this roguelike concept, that it frustrates you to the point that, okay, no, I need to go back and get it. But that's the crux of this game, where dying, it's not like you get the infinite lives like that we're all so accustomed to when playing games. Mm-hmm. And it just brings you right into it. The story, when I was first told about it, or when I first started reading up on it, it was like, how is this story any different from every other like martial arts movie or TV show I've ever seen on the screen? But that's where the death part comes, right? As soon as you die, you get a chance to come back, but you have a finite amount of lives to come back with. And every time you come back, you're older. Mm-hmm. And you sacrifice speed for wisdom, right? So you're doing the trade-off. Like, you actually see, okay, my damage goes up, but my quickness goes down on the meter. And then as you start to get up, man, when I just barely got to the boss and died, and like I beat the first boss with one life left, and I was just like, bro, I'm gonna have to start this game all over again.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You know what, Pete, the game, I know the more, like you were saying, the more that you die, you get older, but your damage gets like higher, but your health is lower. So when was it that you realized, okay, this age is the sweet spot for you, while playing it multiple times?
I want to say like when you get to like, was it 45?
Yeah, it was like around the 40s for me. It wasn't the 40s.
Yeah, and once you get, yeah, because that's when, but that's also, especially depends on which playthrough you're on, because on the first playthrough, that's when for me, everything started to click. Mind you, I'm not used to playing on these things, right? I am primarily a PC player, but I knew that this game was not going to be something I could play strategically and well on a keyboard. I knew this, right? I didn't want to go into this one handicapping myself by playing on PC. So I was like, you know what? I'll go on controller and we'll play it like this. Mm-hmm. I think the first boss for me is when things started to sink, right? Like your ability to dodge, just getting used to the various moves and the mechanics of your play style. Also, using your focus, that's when things really started to click for me, was getting in enough hits to build up your focus meter to do that focus attack. And I don't know why, but the eye poke makes me laugh, because it's like, it's like, what am I, the Three Stooges? I thought it was hilarious for me. But yeah, man, once you start getting into the 40s, that's when for me it clicked. Mm-hmm. The cool thing is, of course, I died after the first boss. But now you get to go back with some of those permanent unlocks and skills and moves that you've learned from your original gameplay. Now you can go back. It's like, okay, well, now I'm used to it. Yes, you have to go back through those levels. But now that you have the experience to go back, now that's when you start testing yourself. Okay, let's see how well it starts to play out.
Yeah, I know that the more you play the game, the more you will unlock, like you said, skills and other things there too. And it also will help you to discover shortcuts to get even further in the game. Because that was something I had no idea about. And one of my a colleague of mine at work was the one that mentioned that to me. He's like, really? He's like, yo, dude, just keep on playing it. You're going to discover some shortcuts. Because this is the part where I got stuck, is I was playing it, then I figure it out, and I got to like a boss level, but I will always, every time I will start playing, I was 60 years old, because that's when I got to the boss, right? So I got frustrated. I'm like, nah, man, I want to get there at least a little bit younger, man. So he was the one that was telling me about that. Like, just keep on playing. You're going to figure things out. The more XP you get in the game, the better it is for you to unlock not only skills, special moves, but also you could even decrease the skulls too. So let's say you have 5. There's the skill tree you could buy where you could reach that all the way to 0. So it helps you to not get older quicker. Because let's say your skulls is already 5 and you die, you come back 5 years later. So I'm like, no, that's when things get, you know, tough. Really, really tough in the game, man. But what do you think about like the boss battles in the game for you? Was that something that stood out to you? And also the intro looked like a freaking movie. That was awesome.
Well, I think that was, I'm not going to lie. Like, I started playing it and like I started going through the bosses and I was just like, man, that would be some ish if like this is just the game and you're just going to play through the intro and the game's over. I was like, these bosses are easy. And then finally, you know, obviously I realized, okay, these are just the intros. These get you familiar with the character and the play and how you actually get that initial catalog of moves that you need to play the game. After that, as we were playing, oh God, what's his name? And I need to figure it. I got to remember this.
It's all good. It's all good.
Sean was fun.
Sean, which one was Sean?
Sean's the second one. He's the one that he was supposed to take over the school.
Oh, was that the tree area?
No, that's like the first guy. That's Fajar.
Okay.
Fajar's the first guy. Sean was cool. Kuroki was a little difficult. I have not finished Yang yet, which is the final boss, which is also my mother's namesake. So thanks. But Jin Feng, I think for me personally has been the most difficult. Obviously, I mean, it's the, you know, that's 4 of 5 bosses, but Jin Feng is the most difficult for me. That's the lady that's missing the arm, but she's got the chain that's part of her arm. That's the one that's been the most difficult for me.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Pete, 2 questions. I think this is also important for the review too, but do you feel that you need to finish a game in order for you to review this? Because there's a lot of reviewers that probably got super frustrated playing this, right? Because, you know, some people are really good at playing this type of game and some are just not that good. What are your thoughts about that? Do you think you need to finish the game to review it and talk about
it? I know we've had this conversation in the past. I don't think we need to finish 100% of the game. Like, I don't think we need to do the full completionist type style where you have to get all of the achievements. Or, I mean, if you can get through the game and get the initial gist of story, narrative, meaning, and gameplay, I think it gives you just enough to be able to make a solid, concerted opinion. The only time that I can think that maybe it does is if it's got like some kind of a surprise ending, looking at BioShock Infinite, where if you don't finish the game, you don't know about that. Does it have to be, do you have to 100% the game? I don't think so. If you disagree with me, at me on Twitter, we could have a conversation. But I don't think it's something that like need to finish 100% of the game. It'd be cool because in the event that there is some kind of a surprise or flash ending, you actually catch that. But I don't really think it makes that much of a difference.
Yeah. Obviously. And I feel like the more you play the game, so let's say you have a lot of hours. Let's say you have 30 hours and you haven't finished the game. I think it's fine to talk about it. I don't see any issues with that. You know, I know some people are like, nope, if I don't pass it, if I don't complete the full game, I'm not going to talk about it. Dude, this month has been insane. Insane with the amount of content that we have to, like, the games that we have that we have to review it and talk about it. Next month is a little bit better, but still crazy because there's even more games coming out. And I try my best to play as many hours as I can to talk about it. Like Dying Light, for example, for me, I got like 40 hour plus in that game. And I had to take a break from playing all these games that's coming out now, right? I took like a good 3 days break because it was just a lot for me. And plus combination of work and the podcast and everything. So, but it's okay if you can't complete the game and you already have a lot of hours, enough for you to talk about it. I think that's fine with me, man. You know what I'm saying? But another thing I was going to mention to you, Pete, is there's been a controversy online now for like the past couple of days where people are saying that the developers are white. There's nobody that is Chinese involved in this game, et cetera. So, and I sent you a message on WhatsApp of an image where it has more information because I just got this actually a few minutes ago. So in this image, I'm going to read it to you guys. This is the developers talking about people that were involved with this. Like they have a Kung Fu consultant that was also involved with this. There was also a Chinese composer that worked on the soundtrack in the game too and everything. You know, I think it is important to talk about this because a lot of people haven't really been talking about this part of the development about the game. And the things that I've been seeing is like, no, it's a bunch of white dudes that just worked on it and that's it. You know, I just want to get your thoughts about that, Pete, of the controversy that we've been seeing online about it.
So I don't think it was intended to come across as some kind of appropriation of the Asian culture, particular China, with respect to this game. I'm glad that they did have that they went out and got a consultant, you know, due to the fact that, yes, the developers are all, you know, Caucasian, melanin deficient skin. Having taken Kung Fu as a kid, I was glad to see some of the katas or forms be realistic and similar to things that I had learned as a child. That said, it can be construed as appropriation because the developers are all white, but if they are giving if they're giving effort in the fact, and like they did, they have a Chinese composer. They reached out and got consultants to walk them through or to give them guidance on this. It, you know, there is a full Mandarin voiceover coming just after launch. What else do you expect them to do? They came up with an idea, with an original idea, and appreciating having watched Chinese Kung Fu movies, you know, in their past or in their growing up, I don't see a big problem with it. Now, if they would have cast the main character with, like, you know, Brie Larson or you know, Chris Pratt, you know, then I have an issue with it. But the fact that, you know, the character models were drawn correctly, the sets of the various areas that they were in was, you know, within limits of what you consider, you know, China, I'm fine with it. I'm not going to get up in arms or I'm not going to get my feelings because the development team was all white. I think at some point we as a community or we as a group need to not be as forward or overly progressive in things. We can't limit Asian video games or Asian culture to only be developed or only be written or produced by Asians. I think that's going too much into this whole thing. What do you think?
No, I think you're right. And I'm going to read this real quick, Pete, because I think this is very, very important. But it says, consultants from other video game companies in China also provided value input throughout the development. We did full cultural reviews of the content, and they made some changes ranging from the look of our main character to details of the environment. We were also especially careful about Chinese text translations, going through numerous iterations to make sure we got it right. And they also says that, you know, that right now there is, you know, English voice recordings, but it says we selected actors from Asian descent for main roles. So it looks like it's a lot of details about, you know, the people that they work with and everything. And I think I'm happy that this got out because I got to see a lot of the tweets for like the past couple of days about that. You know, people really mad about it. But I think it's very important. And I think they should have mentioned this from the beginning. I think Slow Cap. They should have, or even do a documentary video, you know, people that were involved. I think that was very important to do that, I think, you know, but.
I mean, in the same letter, they also mentioned that from the beginning of the project and throughout production, they've been in discussion with Chinese partners from Kowloon Knights in Beijing and Hong Kong to review the game's content and give us feedback. Mm-hmm. They were hugely helpful. That Kowloon Knights comes up right before or right after the actual title card in the game, so you know that they were there. Actually, the name, when I saw it, actually gave, you know, paused me for a second. I was like, oh, okay, that gives reference back to you know, back in the day with China's history. So I was like, that's a really cool name. And so I got the Cuban bread hat on, so I'm going to make the same conversation.
Yeah.
The same comparison. Mm-hmm. Yes, Al Pacino's performance in Scarface was horrible, but do we all get up in arms because Scarface was produced and written by a white guy? Mm-hmm. No. You know, that's, you know, would you feel the same way about other Hispanic or Latinx movies? With this same mindset from what we're talking about?
I don't think so. Even this, Pete, like, look at Wu-Tang Clan. You know, they grew up like me back in the days watching martial arts movies in New York. You know,
exactly.
You know, and they form a whole legendary hip hop group. You know, Wu-Tang Clan, and even they have fans from all around the world. You know what I'm saying? So, and even in China, you see people rocking, you know, the Wu-Tang shirts and everything, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and they're okay with it too. But at the same time, they're always been careful and supportive of, you know, when it comes to like Chinese culture, martial arts and everything. So yeah, man. So I'm glad that we brought this up in the review, because I know people are going to bring that up through email and everything, you know what I'm saying? So anything else, Pete? Besides that,
nah. I think we're
good
again.
Go get the game.
It's actually fun. The game. If we try to take the political portion of everything and trying to be politically correct and sensitive towards things, go play the game. It's actually a lot of fun. Frustrating as hell at times, but it gives you an opportunity to learn and get better over time, and you get to go back, and it's a lot of fun, man. I had a blast. I enjoyed it. Truly did.
Yeah, actually, it's 15, between 15 to 20 hours if you want to complete the whole game and everything. By the way, breaking news, Pete. It looks like breaking news. It looks like Batman Arkham Collection is coming out for the Nintendo Switch. According to a French retailer, the game is going to cost $59.99, and it's going to have, similar to like The Witcher 3 that came out a couple years back for the Switch, this one is going to have all three games from Batman Arkham. It's going to be available there. There's no official announcement or anything like that. It looks like this website just leaked it. So we might see an announcement probably soon, in a couple of days. So I have a feeling that this is going to be a good week with news. I think so. But I'll just leave it as that. I think it's going to be a good week when it comes to news. Is it going to be like Activision Blizzard? Nah, I don't think so. But it's been good. I think it's going to be good.
Well, I mean, on top of the fact that, you know, obviously we've all been playing Dying Light 2. We've been playing Sifu. Big elephant in the room right now is what everybody's opinions are on Horizon.
There is no opinion. What do you mean opinion? There is no opinion about that. We're under embargo. There's no opinion about that.
There is an opinion. It's all an opinion. It's always an opinion.
There is no opinion. All right. Another news here. This is pretty cool. Nintendo Switch outsells the Wii. Now this is the most, I think the most best-selling console of all time, Nintendo Switch. And now it's like 101.63 million units sold. Actually, no, 103. It went up. That's a lot. 103 million, Pete. That's a lot of units, man. Holy crap. And look, that's not a powerful console. And everybody's like all, you know, all into this graphics. And you need to have like 4K. No. Like, the system has been selling a lot. Because the most important thing is the content, man. And I think Nintendo always been great with that. With the content, you know. So, congratulations to Nintendo, man.
I am curious how much of the sales is a result of, obviously, the pandemic that we're all still going through 2+ years later.
Nah, Pete.
Right?
I don't think so, man. Remember, too, Pete, the console has been selling for years. And right now it's been like, what, 5 years or so? And it's been doing great. Even before then, man, you know, yes, more people bought the console during the pandemic. Actually, people don't know about this, but I had Danny Trejo to come to the studio at G4. And first of all, it was a great conversation. We did like an interview about Ollie Ollie World. And he mentioned to us about getting into Animal Crossing during the pandemic. He's like, look, I don't play games or anything like that, right? But my son, my son bought me a Nintendo Switch, and I don't remember the name of the game, but it was like little creatures, and it was so cute. And I posted a video, I think, online, and it went viral. I was like, oh, snap, really? And I'm looking at it, it was Animal Crossing. He's a huge fan of that. So there's a lot of people like Danny that are not hardcore fans. Like, they're not gamers like that, but Wii is easy, it's portable, you can take it everywhere, you know? So, and it's fun too, man. It's easy to play. Like, you know, games like Mario Kart, which is still selling like crazy, which I want a new Mario Kart to come out, but who knows if that's going to happen. But yeah, I think it's beyond the pandemic, Pete. I think it's beyond that, you know? And plus,
And the reason I say that is because we had so many people, you know, around the world that were shut in to their houses, right? Obviously, we couldn't get PlayStation 5 units in our homes. You know, there's obviously, you see a massive sellout on the other ones. And I'm just curious, because of the ease of entry into so many of their games, unlike, you know, like, you know, PlayStation or Xbox exclusives, all of their titles are so focused on ease of entry and playability. That's why I'm thinking, you know, was it easier for people to just pick up a Switch because it's something they can play on the couch in their room, you know, or, you know, the portability factor of it. If you were having to go to the office or going to work, when you jump on the train or you take the bus or what have you, you can play it. Or if you're lucky or fortunate enough to be able to travel for things, you know, while you're in the airplane. I mean, most part, it's one of the main reasons why I got mine. Not so much to play it while I'm at home, but more so from when I'm having to do traveling. Yes, obviously, during the pandemic, Hades was my thing. But, you know, I think as time progressed, I think throughout the pandemic, I honestly think it did help with the sales. And obviously, Nintendo is just in their own space within the gaming industry. Mm-hmm. That they can do whatever, whenever, and it will, for the most part, sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, and even recently, they asked the president of Nintendo in Japan, like, hey, are you guys are planning to buy any studios? Hey, Sony's been doing it. Microsoft has been doing it. And they're like, nah, we're good. We don't have to do that. They were like, they don't need to. And the reason why he's mentioned that, he's like, no, is if it doesn't have that Nintendo, there you go. If it doesn't have that Nintendo DNA, we don't need it. That's the thing.
I think the only outlier title when you think of that is a game like Bayonetta, where it was originally available in other platforms and then it got to the point where it was like, you know what? This, as Furukawa says, is it continues the Nintendo creative culture. But you'll notice what he said after that was he was not dismissing the possibility of a potential acquisition in the future. Which has to make you think. Obviously, it's going to be the first question that's on everybody's tongues when you talk about things, right? You got Take-Two buying Zynga, obviously the Activision Blizzard purchase after, you know, their massive, you know, purchase of Bethesda. And then obviously you've got Bungie, you know, that was just picked up by Sony Interactive, which, you know, obviously is great for them. Do you have a company in your mind that thinks they could, you know, they would? I mean, if you think about it, Nintendo's the last purchase they did was Next Level Games.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, that was what, last year?
Last year. Well, I think Sega makes sense for Nintendo, honestly. Out of all the companies, that's the closest I think I could come up with, because they've done a lot of projects with it, and also they have a major well-known character, iconic character, similar to Mario and Sonic. I think Sega would be the perfect company to acquire, I think, for Nintendo, you know.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Anything else, Pete? Because we have questions here. And also, I have one more thing to talk about. I technically didn't really want to talk about it, but I'm like, you know what? I think we should have this conversation. It is so freaking annoying seeing this online the past few days. And look, the past few weeks, I've been in a place in life now that I'm just done with, like, nonsense online. I'm done with negative content that I've seen not only on YouTube, but also Twitter, fanboy, console war BS. Like, I'm just tired of that crap, right? But I think this is a conversation where it is very important for us to talk about on the show. So there's a comedian, and he has a show that was called Adam Ruins Everything. By the way, that show got canceled a long time ago, but it has nothing to do with the conversation. Just saying. But anyways, he made a video a couple days ago, which is all over the web already, saying why this acquisition, you know, with Microsoft and Activision Blizzard is super, you know, not good for the industry, because this is a monopoly and all this stuff. Look, Pete, in the beginning, I remember everybody was saying Microsoft has no games. Now that they've been acquiring companies, now it's a monopoly. Please choose one. Like, I'm completely lost about that part, right? Another thing he mentioned in the video is like, oh, he says PlayStation, and I quote, sorry for those who are listening here, I'll edit this on the podcast. He says, PlayStation is fucked, according to him, because now all this is happening. Game Pass is going to hurt the industry. He mentioned a bunch of stuff that I'm like, how that's hurting. I think that's the industry is changing overall, man. I think this is great, not only for developers. Now they don't have to be stuck on like, we need to make a game that has become a hit when it comes to sales. You know, now I feel like companies could be taking risk now on when it comes to creativity, doing new things they have never done before, right? Do I see this as a monopoly for Microsoft? I don't think so, man. I really don't think so. By the way, Microsoft is still third place. Nintendo is up there. PlayStation is up there. How this is a monopoly? I just don't get the whole thing, man. I think people need to stop with the whole console war BS stuff, man. It's getting to the point that it's very, very freaking tiring seeing this online. You know, and I just wanted to say that real quick because how this is run to an industry, Pete, like how this is killing the industry by a company like Microsoft acquiring companies, you know, studios for them to have now the portfolio even, you know, bigger when it comes to content. PlayStation acquired Bungie. I think that's a great thing. You know, great thing. Now Bungie has the money to market the game, to publish the game, to do more things when it comes to development. And a lot of things, I think is a positive thing from my point of view. What about you, Pete?
First and foremost, take the source into consideration.
Uh-oh.
This person is known for gaslighting and trying to be controversial just so that they can be relevant in today's news, right? So obviously this person takes the big ticket item on everybody's mind, which is, you know, which is Activision being purchased by Microsoft, and flips it for themselves, right? Just to bring, and it's not even to bring any kind of a discussion or conversation into it. It's just to bring him to the top of whether it's social media or print media or what have you, so that that person can try to go for some form of relevancy. I don't go to this person for any type of gaming information or opinion or news. Same way as nobody comes to me for, you know, check engine light, you know, expertise. That's not my thing. I don't have a car. So, and today's age of social media, I think, just gives everybody a platform, whether they need it or not. But at the end of the day, this person can go kick rocks for all I care. This person brings nothing to the conversation, and nothing functional with respects to how or whether, you know, up the purchase of Activision Blizzard by Microsoft is going to ruin video games or create some kind of a monopoly on this. At the end of the day, whether it's Microsoft purchasing Zeniworks or the Bethesda purchase from, you know, last year, or Activision's purchase this year, or Bungie's purchase last week, all that goes to show you is that there's a major change in the way gaming companies are looking at distribution of their products. And when I say their products, I don't mean hardware, because we've known for years that hardware doesn't create anything positive in the accounting category when you're looking at hardware sales. That has been at a loss for as long as we've, you know, as long as we've all been on this podcast, right? The key to profit with respects to Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo, for that matter, is always going to be software. And in today's age, software as a service or games as a service, as we know it. That is why Microsoft is buying all of these companies, is to be able to make Xbox or Game Pass the preeminent method for a consumer. And I'm not saying, you know, their customer. I'm saying a consumer. They're trying to make their platform or their ecosystem the place to go when you want to buy a game, mm-hmm. or when you want to play video games. And in the same way that we're all talking about, what is it, Spartacus for Sony? Same concept. Okay, whether you get to play it on PC or you get to play it on PC or on PlayStation 5, if you can find one, or you can play it on PlayStation 4, it's a way to get you to continue paying for either subscription or dropping $60, $70 for a video game in the United States, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I mean, hell, even Nintendo's doing it with their service, which is still a phenomenal, you know, a phenomenal deal at what, $30-$35 a year to be able to get the Nintendo Online service. So look, at the end of the day, that's all this really is. You know, it's not a hardware sales pressure. It's a way to get into your into their ecosystem. And there's, I don't know, again, that guy that you mentioned is not who I go to for my video game news. Obviously, I go to Gamertag Radio. Check them out.
check them out.
No, yeah, check them out. No bias at all.
By the way, shout out to Arctic, Armad, and the chat here live on Twitch. He posted a link of – you definitely got to watch that, Pete. The link, when you click it, shows all the studios from per company. So look at Microsoft, look at Take-Two, look at Ubisoft, Sony, Tencent, EA, and Embracer Group. Which is the biggest one from this chart?
Well, I honestly, this chart, as good as it is, you can't list every single Ubisoft studio in existence as an individual studio. Yeah, they all work in different countries, but it's still Ubisoft.
It's still Ubisoft. So
that Ubisoft pie should be much slimmer. But I mean, at the end of the day, you've got Embracer Group with what looks like 100 something studios.
It's a lot.
They're mostly, I mean, I'm trying to look at this and I can't tell if maybe it's out of focus or I need to get new glasses.
I think it's, I think you're getting old, but the graphics is, the graphic, it's pretty hard to read, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of the studios there are third party or, you know, indie studios. So it doesn't look as large, but if you try to compare the studio sizes, Tencent and EA, actually EA and Microsoft are about the same.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Tencent is a little bit thicker, right?
Yeah.
T2 is thicker than Sony's, but in that same one, you've got 7 Rockstar video studios. So, I mean, I don't know if they just added all these additional like local studios to make them look larger, but I mean, look. Tencent is the one everybody is probably more concerned with, and they've got toes in everybody else's pots as well. We know they've got a chunk in Ubisoft. We know they've got their hands in Epic as well. Actually, I talked about this like what 2 or 3 shows ago. So it's not a surprise that they're doing that. So,
yeah.
Look, man, it's. It's going for catalog at the end of the day, which feeds the games as a service model moving forward. It's their effort or an effort to get you into their ecosystem at the end of the day. So we need to stop worrying about what you or everybody in our social media feed is buying or playing. Don't worry about what people on your timeline are buying. Worry about what you buy. Worry about what you're playing. Worry about what you are enjoying, having fun doing. Don't worry about everybody else. Everybody, stay out of everybody's business. Worry about yourself. And our timelines will be a hell of a lot more quiet and sane. No more of this nonsense about whose plastic box is better than another's or who's more butthurt because a company bought another. Worry about what you play. Worry about having fun and stop being worrywart. Stop being negative. That's it.
All right, let's go with fan mail, Pete. We don't have that much time. And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, I'm going to play this voicemail first. I know we have some written stuff here, Pete. You should choose one of the written ones if you want. All right, let's go with the voicemail. Here it goes.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. This is Stefan from Connecticut again. I'm actually sending a second SpeakPipe message in response to your Twitter Spaces question about PlayStation putting games on PC. Now, I'm not a PlayStation owner, but I think I have some insight as to why some of these gamers are upset about this possibility. Now, I think there's a very, very small portion of the population of gamers who just are negative and don't want other people to experience PlayStation games except on the console. But I think the vast majority of all gamers simply want their companies to do well, and they have different ideas for how the company should strategize. Some of these people see putting games on PC as possibility of PlayStation console sales dwindling down to the point where PlayStation will decide to not release any more consoles. But what they don't understand is their market share of people who will not make a hardcore gaming PC will never go away. There will always be people who will go for the consoles. And secondly, as you mentioned in your opening argument, games make the revenue, not the consoles. So, I mean, this is simply the future. PlayStation's got to experiment and has got to adapt with creating an ecosystem, which is what they're already doing with that Spartacus program. Now, I'm not sure if I'll ever play a PlayStation game. I just understand that there are great games out there, and I'm sort of a passive observer. But I ultimately believe that most people that are unfavorable about this decision, they're not trying to be negative. They just want their company to do well. We all do. And they have a fear that the consoles will stop selling, which will never happen. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for all you do. Bye-bye.
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much for that voicemail. I think, hey, Pete, he's right. The same exact thing that we just said a few minutes ago. The same exact thing.
Wow.
You know? Wow.
It's almost as if I said the same thing.
Right?
But I mean, look, at the end of the day, but again, thank you for sending the message. Appreciate it. Look, man, they just want you to spend money on their ecosystem. They don't care what. And going back to what I said last week, I'm still holding on to the dream. Let me dream that we are all plastic box agnostic in the future. That it doesn't matter if I'm trying to play my Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, or ColecoVision video games. I could do it on the device of my choosing, right? If I could play it in a browser, if I could play PlayStation games in a browser, or I could play Super Mario 97 on my phone, or if I want to play PUBG 43 on my new state-of-the-art PC with my RTX 9070, you know, on PC, whatever, I can do it. I don't care about plastic box affinity. And all you armchair analysts can step to the side. I don't care. I just want to play my games on the platform of my choosing without worrying about what Fulano on the side said.
Yeah, so. Cuban bread, baby, Cuban bread.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, P, it was good. It's good hearing this from you know, listeners. And I think that was a very positive message. Like, look, people are just afraid. I don't know what it is when it comes to, like, being so loyal, like, to a company and everything. Like, dude, just have fun, man. At the end of the day, it's all about having fun. Look, just a couple weeks ago, you know, when I got Dying Light 2 early, you know how I was playing it? I was playing through the PC, and there were some days I just didn't want to be playing on my computer. I had also NVIDIA Shield, so I was like, I connected Steam Link through there. So I was playing it like that too, and it was smooth. I had my Xbox controller on the big screen on the TV, and I was just enjoying it. Once I was done from there, come and play on the PC, super smooth experience. And now I could go back and try it out through NVIDIA GeForce Now because I have that game on my Steam collection. Or there's other games like Sifu. Hopefully I could do that, play it through the NVIDIA Shield. I think if the game is available on GeForce Now, I could do that. I got to double check. But, you know, things like that, smooth. You don't need a console to play any device. And you could have fun and enjoy it. You know, back then we didn't have those options. You had to get the console. Now it's a lot more. It's a lot different now, man. You know, those people that can't afford a Switch, they can't afford a PS5, or now people can't find a PS5, but they have a mobile device. Stream it through there and play. You know, so give us options, man. Pete, I think one of the questions. Oh, go ahead. You were going to say something?
I was going to say, I think in a blog post this past week, Sifu is coming to GeForce Now.
So oh, that's it.
And have your you got your wish right there. Boom.
There you go. Smooth experience, man. Pete, I know we have a question, and this is perfect for you. this is perfect for you, and it's about PC gaming. So,
right,
go for it.
All right, so this one will be from Jason in Fort Wayne. I'm assuming. Hey, good folks. Love the podcast. Been listening for a few years now. I'm wanting to build a PC here for a while. Almost pulled the trigger last winter during all the holiday sales, but knew to hold off as the real games I'm anticipating are titles like Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6. So figured I might do it later this year. I think I can afford all the higher end basic pieces, but the real tricky and expensive part is the graphics card. Obviously, getting something real good is going to be as much as the rest of the build, if not more. I'd like to get something of decent quality, but don't want to overspend. I know specs aren't out yet for either of those titles, and maybe this is a question better answered when the time comes, but I'm wondering what might be a good mid-grade graphics card that won't be the bare minimum to play, but also have a little future-proofing when the time comes. I can ask again later if that might be wiser, but figured I'd poke you guys' brains now to gauge what y'all think. Anyways, keep up the great work. Can't wait for the next episode. So, Jason, thank you very much for that message. Appreciate it. We always appreciate those emails and voicemails, etc. So please keep them coming. With as many cards going out there in the market, it's hard. And obviously, the Silicon Lottery is extremely difficult for a lot of people simply because you can't get them. Right. I'm fortunate enough to, we're in this industry and we have the opportunity to have cards. Like myself, I have a spare 2080 Ti, and that's probably triggering for a lot of people. As far as getting a good mid-grade GPU, if you can get a 3060 or a 3070, I think that future proofs you for a short period of time. They're already talking about 48 series cards now. And the 3090 Ti and 3080 Ti's are out. Obviously, the difficulty is just getting them out of the market. Your best bet, if you're going to get a PC today without getting your wallet stolen, essentially, is to go through a third party builder, whether it's someone like Origin, who we've had great experiences and conversations with Kevin. In the past, who are now with Corsair. So you can go to the Corsair website and look them up. You could do what we did with Danny is we went to the NZXT website using their build configurator. It's a great, phenomenal thing. This is not a plug. This is not an ad. We actually just, him and I sat on, we did a PC screen share one day and we literally just built it out for him. It was easy. And we got yelled at by Paris, and I know you're not on the show to back yourself up, but you don't have to deal with it anyways. I don't care. Call in if you have to. He yelled at us for using that and not building it separately. But understand that, and we've talked about this in the past, PC gaming is something that's difficult. It's not the easiest thing to get into simply because the difficulty in compatibility of parts. Hey, the show was delayed by 20 minutes today because I had an issue with my video card, with my cam link for my PC, and video wasn't showing. Welcome to PC gaming. That's what you do. It's an expected thing to happen. But the beauty of it is obviously getting to play these games in 4K or 8K and with the highest fidelity and the best graphics possible. But not everybody has the technical aptitude or ability or care to deal with that. And that is why consoles will always be there, right? This actually goes back to the previous voicemail. There are so many more pieces. There's so many consoles on the market between Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft that I think the PC market is like 15 or 20% of the overall major game market. And I'm not even talking about mobiles because mobiles outshines everybody in total counts. But people like Danny, and this is not a slight, I'm not using this as a way to insult him or anything. he doesn't care about, you know, trying to figure out the graphics or delitting his CPU to get more frames or trying to overclock. Hell, I don't even try to overclock my stuff. I just want to play at in a smooth environment. So that is why a system like, whether you're using the NZXT build experience or using, you know, Origins or using main gear or any of those, that's why it makes life easier for people like Danny or like yourself, Jason, to just go onto the website, click a couple of buttons, and boom, you've got a PC. You can even, if you're fortunate enough to have a micro center where you live, you can do the same thing. You can go through their configurator. You can select the parts. And if they have them in stock, within 3 hours, you can have your PC. We actually tried to do that first, but they were sold out on parts, which is why we went through the NZXT build experience. And I think it was like 3 or 4 days later, Danny had a shiny new gaming PC in his living room. So it was like, how can you go wrong with a system like that? And because they are a big box, you know, seller, they have faster, or they actually have access to an inventory of you know, 30, you know, 30 series cards, which for Danny was a godsend. So in the event you can, and you have a little bit extra money, because I actually did the build out on PC Parts Picker earlier this morning with all of your parts, mm-hmm. and it ended up being $500 more for the convenience of getting your PC and not having to go through the Silicon Lottery on eBay or one of these other places and hope the chances are that you get a 3080 or whatever video card you're trying to go for. So Jason, if you can and you're lucky enough, go to like a Micro Center, one of those. I don't know if they have them in Fort Wayne, Indiana, but if they do, you're lucky. If not, try to find a place like Fry's or BH Photo. I know in New York they might have them. Check theirs. Obviously, Newegg is, you know, free for all. Good luck with them. But if you have a chance or an opportunity, and you have the means, look at another company like a, you know, NZXT or Micro Center, whomever, and maybe leverage their resources and get yourself, you know, the video card that you're looking for, and enjoy Starfield and the full splendor. Just don't forget, you will have to pay for monitor if you don't have it, keyboard and mouse, headset if you're going to want to play, you want to hear things, and obviously the Windows license.
Yep. Shout out to him for Jason for sending us an email. And look, I've been enjoying it so much with my PC. You know, I've been, you know, doing a lot of work with, you know, my 9-to-5 job, but also the podcast, streaming, but also at the same time playing a lot of games here, man. So, yeah, it's been great experience. Actually, I was sending this to Pete right before we started recording. I'm like, LP, I've been playing more PC than my consoles for like the past month or so. You know, so it's been good. But for me, Pete, I've been playing more games on like performance mode instead of like putting everything high quality 4K. For me, it's been a smoother experience for me when it comes to performance. So that's just me. All right, I'm going to read one more email. I'm going to read this very short because we're running out of time here. And this is from Julio Rodriguez, Puerto Ricano, living in Houston, Texas, man. Long time listener, first time writing. And he says, I think Sega is getting ready to be bought because how they're getting rid of their arcade division. For those that don't know, there was the most iconic arcade venue in Japan from Sega got shut down a couple of weeks ago. So very depressing. I saw the pictures of people were outside all sad when that happened. And it says, we saw more or similar thing happen with Bungie and Activision. He says that there are internal shuffles before almost every big event, which I totally agree. But he says, but by what we have learned, the company that might buy them most likely will be the most unlikely one. Who knows? Let them surprise us. Thanks to all of you for all the amazing conversations. Yeah, thanks to Julio for sending us this. Pete, I think everybody's been predicting like who is going to acquire Sega, but I think it's going to be a company like Julio is saying that it's going to be somebody that nobody's going to expect. It's going to be something random, off the wall. People are going to be talking about this for years to come. And do you think that? Do you think there's going to be someone that is not part of our prediction?
I honestly think it'll be a company like Tencent that does the purchase.
I think so too.
Because they have, and you know, they've got the capital behind them. Obviously, with the amount of investment that they've already put into gaming, not just owning Riot, owning I think it's 5 or 8% of Ubisoft. I think it's closer to 5% of Ubisoft. 41% or 40% of Epic. They've got their fingers in the cookie jar with Krafton, aka the people that made PUBG, Bluehole. I see them. I mean, they were in the conversation for Activision Blizzard, in my personal opinion. Obviously, you know, a lot of people say that it was Amazon. Everybody knows Amazon was in there in the conversation, but there was like 3 or 4 other companies that were in that same negotiation discussion. And it was the same for the ZeniMax one for Bethesda as well. So you can't discount them. So if it is going to be a company that buys Sega, it's going to be either Amazon, Facebook, or Tencent. And honestly, because of just the sheer size and the amount of capital that they could throw at the purchase, I think Tencent has the biggest and best chance to do it.
Yeah, they have the money. Tencent has the money. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, if that happens, dude, it's going to be trending for days. People are going to be talking about it for a long time.
Emergency podcast all over again.
All over again, yeah. or Twin Spaces, you know, one of those two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, thanks for the email, man. And please, for those who are listening, please continue sending us questions. I think this is a great way for us to interact with the listeners, not only through the chat, live stream, but I want you to also be part of the conversation and be part of the podcast, man. So send us questions. Send us questions. Don't stop. You could also go to SpeakPipe, voicemail, or send us an MP3, whatever you want. Just be part of the conversation. Give me a lot of
carrier
fun.
Pigeon. Little yeah. Carrier pigeon with a note on the leg. Send it. send it.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it? The Harry Potter style, right? Like with the owl. Just send it. Whoop. There you go. Pete, anything else before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's it. Arctic was asking computer chair I'm sitting on, so plug, not plug for them.
Yeah, I don't know if you see mine.
I see you over there with the Secret Lab Titan.
Yeah.
It's not yellow like somebody's, so.
You know. Oh, it's not. At all. At all. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episode. We have a lot of content. Go stream it and share it. I think they're very important. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Make sure to follow, subscribe, and more importantly, post your review. It will help us out so much. It only takes like a minute or less, a couple seconds. Go ahead. Pause this. Do it right now. All right, if you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could be part of the show.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, P. It was a lot of fun, man. Great conversation. Wow, this 60 minutes flew by right away. Insane, right? Mm-hmm. So fast, man. P, what are going to be the next games you're going to be playing, man?
Well, give me about an hour. I'm going to have dinner, and I'll be back on PUBG. If you want. Yeah. I'm still playing that. I won't stop playing that.
He's not going to stop playing
that. It's my favorite game. It's my favorite game. Some people like Destiny. Some people like other games. For me, it's PUBG.
Yeah.
I'll likely also be streaming. So if you're in the mood to hang out, we'll be playing PUBG. Ready or Not from Void Interactive is still a regular on my game catalog. Actually, let's pop open GOG and see what we have here. Dying Light 2, even though it's been giving me some technical issues. Super People, mm-hmm. From Korea is a real fun one as well. I've uninstalled and completely deleted anything Battlefield related from my PC.
Ooh, rest in peace.
I am still going to continue struggling through Sifu. Fingers crossed that my age in real life isn't actually making my game experience worse. And intermixing a little bit of God of War on PC because I can.
Yeah. Yeah, I could do the same with God of War and also Horizon, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
PC. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, P, I was going to mention this to you. I have a strange feeling that Crossfire X is going to get bad reviews, man. I have a strange feeling. The game is coming out in a couple of days, and I don't know if anybody has a review code on that. Usually, we've been getting codes for the past couple of weeks early, because it seems like every other company has been very confident with their games. I haven't heard jack about Crossfire X. I don't know if that's a good sign. I don't know if that's a good sign.
So the question is, because that is a game from 2007.
Yeah.
Right?
And the multiplayer.
And it's going to be a... And I'm curious, it's free to play anyways. Why do you think... Do you think that because it's going to be free to play, they don't want to or they don't care about pushing it out?
Well, the game Crossfire X, remember, this one has a campaign that Remedy worked on. It's a single player game. So I don't know if it's going to be good or not. I have no idea. I'm a huge fan of Remedy, but I'm kind of like careful about getting hyped about the game,
So here's my next question on it, because I haven't really put a lot of brain cycles thinking about this game, because obviously the last few weeks have just been insane with respects to just game reviews. Like we've all been inundated with things.
Uh-huh.
Is it console only?
Xbox,
because it's an PC? Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, but I don't see a PC.
Really, is
commentary?
No PC?
I'm going by Wikipedia, so who knows? You know, this could be some dude in the back in some warehouse.
Also, like, this is Xbox One, Xbox Series, and there's nothing on PC.
Yeah.
So it says, is Crossfire coming to PC? It's similar to Counter-Strike and has been around since 2007 in certain territories. But this game has been restricted exclusively to the PC market with no console port to speak of. So Crossfire X will be available on Xbox Game Pass from day one.
For console only.
Console
I'm looking
only.
At a list right now of titles coming to Xbox and PC Game Pass,
mm-hmm.
and Contrast, which is coming to cloud and console, and Crossfire X are the only ones not coming to PC. Mm-hmm. Everything else is coming to PC as well. Mm-hmm. Dreamscaper, Telling Lies, some game called Besiege, Edge of Eternity, Skull, The Hero Slayer, The Last Kids on Earth, and The Staff of Doom, Ark's Ultimate Survivor Edition, and Infernix. All of those games are all coming to cloud, console, and PC. Crossfire X, console only. Cloud and console. I will not be playing it.
Yeah, there you go. Don't worry, I'll, with my high-end Xbox Series X, I can talk about
it. There you go.
And
please tell me all about it, because I'm curious, you know, with Remedy doing, and we know Remedy can deliver. I'm curious now.
But does it mean this is going to be good? I don't know. Look, I'm trying to be positive. We'll see. I have a lot of questions. That's why. And we even had someone here, No Pulse XBL, wrote, that beta was horrible.
I remember Ryan McCaffrey was not too happy about it either.
Oh,
and he did his review about it like 2 years ago. So
review? What are you talking about?
Yeah, he had something on. He had some like he. Because you know it was a beta, you know, so
yeah,
he
beta,
put his thing on. He talked about it, and he wasn't too happy about it either.
Oof, that's rough. Mm-hmm. That's rough. Hey, could this be the first game with bad reviews this year?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. All right, guys, we're gonna wrap it up. Until next time, man, what a great way to end the show. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Peace.
Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.